Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Wednesday, and it is the 28th of February in the year 2007. Last day of February. Spring's around the corner. And we still have drifts here in beautiful Millerton, Pennsylvania, or outside of it, about 3 feet deep, folks. So maybe by the time spring gets here, it'll look like spring. I'm glad you've joined us this evening. I want to begin here, of course, with our spiritual message, as we always do. This is from the New Testament, and this is from Luke 17, and beginning with verse 20. This is in the red. This is a statement attributed to Jesus. And the reason I wanted to share this tonight, I keep getting emails and from people who keep talking about, you know, these are the end times, and they talk about it almost like it's, quote, not the end of the world, but Jesus is coming back. He's going to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule here for 1,000 years of peace. And that isn't what Jesus said. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. He also said, lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So why would he need to come back? And this is a statement, as I said, attributed to Jesus. He said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So when people say, well, you know, these are all the signs, we know it is. We know it's coming because this sign and that sign. Just read. Read for the red. And ladies and gentlemen, Jack, are you with us?
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh, good. Now, I'm still getting a real low volume here, but I hope that our listeners can hear you okay. And I want to thank you for joining us. Folks, our guest tonight is Jack Otto. And Jack is the author of a book titled World War III. I've had the book for ages, and I always meant to call him and have him come on the air with us. I have never done it. And I got a call from one of our listeners this past week from Storm, started talking about Jack. I said, I know who he is. I have his book, and I should bring him on the air. And I called Jack today, and he very willingly said that he would be our guest this evening at short notice, and I appreciate it. Jack has his own radio broadcast now on from Republic Radio. He's on Saturday night. You might want to make a note of this. Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, same time you listen to Sweet Liberty. And, Jack, I didn't ask you today the frequencies that you're on, so our listeners can tune you in, dear.
Well, it can be heard on shortwave on 5.050.
5.050?
That's correct. And it can be heard on the internet at rbnlive.com.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight, Jack.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm glad to be here. Anytime we've
yeah,
got a
I can hear
to take
you.
A bite out of the New World Order, I'm ready to go.
Well, what I would like to just if you would, when I said I would like to talk about the book today, you said you would prefer not because the book has to be reprinted, and that you are going to have it another printing. But I wonder if you would just, Jack, tell us how it is you came to write the book, World War III.
Well, I got into the Patriot Movement about 40 years ago.
40 years, God love you.
And I could see as I'm uncovering information that too much of it was spread out in too many areas, and none of it was put together cohesively enough for people to get the big picture. You could get some ideas here and there, but the subject matter was just a little bit too dispersed for most people. And so as I read more books, I decided to put together a compilation that put all the important information together to definitively, if it was at all possible, paint the big picture so that everybody could understand what was transpiring. And that was the motivating force. I wanted to wake people up, and I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that it was not a Jewish conspiracy, but it was by some satanic cult that only pretends to be Jews.
Thank
you. Those Khazar warriors from northern Turkey that faked a conversion to Judaism in 741 A.D.
You're talking about the Khazars.
The Khazar warriors.
Uh-huh.
You know,
Go ahead, Jack.
Of people don't want to believe that there could be a conspiracy, but there is an evil conspiracy that literally runs the world. And it pulls the political strings from behind the scenes, and those who believe it could not possibly be happening because the newspapers and TV would have informed us, then I think you need to hear an excerpt from a speech by President John F. Kennedy. He spoke out about secret societies and secret measures and secret meetings and secret proceedings. And right afterwards, he got into this conspiracy notion, and I want to quote JFK if we have time for one paragraph.
We have, Jack?
Yes.
We have an entire hour here, and
okay,
we have no commercials. We have a break at the half hour for about 3 minutes, so this hour is yours.
Thank you very much. This is a paragraph from a speech by President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And I'm quoting exactly the second paragraph. We are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. And he should have taken his own words seriously, because he was being a dissenter at that point, and he was silenced shortly thereafter.
Jack, I wonder how close that was to the time that he signed the executive order to issue the U.S. notes, bypassing the Federal Reserve notes. Because that is a fact that he did that. I have one of the U.S. notes that was issued at that time.
I have two of them. I have a $5 bill and a $2 bill.
Right, there you go. Was that right around the same time, Jack?
Yes, it was pretty close. And that was reason enough for them to want to kill him.
Well,
he also threatened to scatter the CIA to the four winds if they didn't get out of the drug dealing business. So it doesn't take too much of that kind of talk to let the New World Order people that know that they're going to have to do something. And they did. You know, those who know that something is drastically wrong and search diligently will find that the culprits comprise a very large satanic cult that only pretends to be Jews. An objective of the innermost circle of these pseudo-Jews, as I like to call them, or false Jews,
is the total annihilation
of the real Hebrews. And it would be appropriate to call them anti-Semitic. Their pogroms of a century ago were a trial run. Hitler's Nazi regime was a more serious effort. And the third wave of this Holocaust is planned for soon, when Christians and Jews are pitted against Islamic forces in World War III. And at that crucial time, the perpetrators plan to blame all the evils of the world on the Jews, in an effort to manipulate the Christians into changing sides and joining the Muslims in genocide against the Jews. And if that propaganda were to be successful, then nearly everyone would be against the real Hebrews in a real Holocaust. See, the masses have never been informed of these plans because the conspirators own the international banking and insurance syndicate. The syndicate, in turn, owns the newspapers, television, and Hollywood, as well as most of the national governments in the world and nearly all the industry. The few who are aware of this plot mistakenly believe it is a Jewish conspiracy because many leaders have Jewish-sounding names.
Well, you know, when you think about it, Jack, the word Jew never even appeared in the Bible till I understand somewhere, what, around the 16th century?
That's correct.
And so the word was made up in the first place to cause the confusion. And then those people who are born into that religion, well, I shouldn't say religion, into Talmudism, believe that they're Jews, and they become part of the problem because they go along with and support financially everything that these so-called Jews do. And so therefore, you know, to me, when I look at this entire plan, I don't have it all together in my mind yet, but I see how absolutely insidious it is. Now, you've got about 40,000 what they call themselves Judeo-Christians who cheer for Israel, Israel first. And it has become a confused mess.
It surely has. Now, if you take a look at it, these false Jews are the ones that created this false Israel. If you look in your Bibles, Israel is supposed to span from the Nile to the Euphrates River. That's a big area.
There was no Israel in the Bible. It was Jerusalem.
Yes, but when the Messiah returns, they're talking about the scope of the Israel that he's going to formulate in his kingdom.
But that's more of the religious propaganda.
Well, there sure is a lot of that floating around.
There is. That was one of the reasons, as I said, that I shared that particular spiritual message tonight. Because people say, well, all of the signs are there. It's in the Bible. The Bible and religions were made by man. Jesus never said he came here to start a new religion. He said he came here to bear witness unto the truth. And it was the religious, the priesthood, if you would, that has probably written and controlled all religions down through the ages. So that story in the Old Testament.
It was the Sanhedrin that worked so diligently to have him crucified.
Pardon?
It was the Sanhedrin which worked so diligently to have him crucified, when their pretext for their association, for setting up that organization, was to watch for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it rather ironic that they were the ones that pushed for his execution? Oh, what tangled webs they weave when they set out to deceive. See, this all ensues from those Khazar
warriors. When we look at the word Israel itself, and you break it down, we have three of the ancient gods in there. We have Isis, Ra, and El. So I don't think that's anything, even the word itself, that would have been, how would you call, divinely inspired?
Well, we know when Yaqub, or Jacob as he's called now, wrestled with the angel, he got a new name, and that's when, according to the Old Testament, that the name Israel came about.
That's when, I'm sorry, are you talking as loudly as you can, Jack?
I sure am. I'm speaking
okay.
Right up.
I'm straining very, very hard to hear you. Say that again, when Jacob wrestled with the angel?
Yes, he asked for a blessing, and the angel gave him a new name, and that's where the name Israel came from.
The name what?
That's where the name Israel came from.
Oh, okay, but...
In the Old Testament.
If these religions were created by the priesthood, I'm not talking just the Sanhedrin. I'm talking about an ancient priesthood. That all of it was set up by them, and the books that were written, let's say they were written by the scribes and Pharisees back then, to believe that that was divinely inspired, we have to believe that our Creator is what word would I want to use? The inconsistencies. A creator that changes its mind, that chooses a special people to be a god. In the Old Testament, Jehovah is stated as saying, I am going to take you to be my people, and I am going to be to you a god. Then we would have to ask, Jack, what in the world does the word God mean?
God means superior being.
Well, maybe it doesn't, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's the word they gave us to use. There have been how many gods? I mean, you remember the story? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be getting in this debate with you, but...
That's all right. We need
okay,
to
is it okay with you?
Sure.
You remember the story of the Jews or the Hebrews over in Egypt? And now, you know, when I read this, it just absolutely floored me. He told Moses, okay, I'm hearing my people. I'm hearing them crying out, I want you to go get them. And then Moses said, no, I can't do that because I'm not a good talker. Now, I'm paraphrasing here, but if you go back and read it, Jack, this is exactly, if we would paraphrase, what went on. And then they argued a little bit about it, and that's when he said, okay, fine, you can take Aaron with you to be, you know, the spokesperson. So then Jehovah says, I want you to go and tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. But I know that he's not going to let him go because I'm going to harden his heart so he won't. And then I'm going to bring plagues down upon the people. And this goes on for pages that he is going to prove that he is Almighty God. Now, our Creator, Jack, is not a human being and does not have these types of human egotistical needing to prove its power. When you think about it, I was 15 years old when I read the Old Testament, and at first I must admit it scared the hell out of me. I was brought up in the Lutheran Church, and at that time they weren't into the Old Testament all the time. It was the New Testament. So I got curious and started reading, and I read about this jealous God that was going to bring his wrath down upon the generations. And I got so frightened, and I thought, my God, does this mean everything that I do wrong, my children are going to pay for? And when I read the story about Abraham and Sarah, and for 100 years they waited to have a child, and then supposedly God, Jehovah, whatever, said to Abraham, I want you to prove to me that you love me. I want you to take your son up there on the mountain and kill him. Now, Jack, I don't know if you have children, Somewhere in the New Testament, I remember Jesus saying, if your son asked for a loaf, would you give him a rock? If he asked for a fish, would you give him whatever? I forget what he said exactly, but he said, if you can give such good gifts to your child, think of the gifts that your Heavenly Father gives you. That's love, Jack. And when you read the Old Testament, it is nothing but frightening. It's a bunch of threats. It's just a phantasm to me of idiocy, to be very honest with you, and to believe. But anyway, think about this.
Well, I remember that Abraham went through with what he was
commanded to do.
Yes, he did,
didn't he? And then God said, it's okay, you don't have to do it.
A test of his loyalty.
Right, I just wanted to see. As if our Creator has to test us. Just think about it.
Well, if we have free will, then it may need some testing.
Maybe it is that we...
See, I believe the Bible was inspired by God Almighty.
No.
Scribed by his men, and then translated by scoundrels.
We have no idea what the even, I don't think, what the original text was, but those first five books of the Old Testament. Now think about this. In the Old Testament, there's a place, these are places that I highlighted and underlined and put sticky notes at because I thought, what in the world is this? But I mean, this is not, I wasn't doing that when I was 15 years old. He made a statement to his chosen people, and he said, when I, something about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob only knew me as Lord when I made my covenant with them. They only knew me as Lord God Almighty. But he says, I am going to take you to be my people. I am going to be to you a God. And you will know me by Jehovah, or my name is Jehovah, or whatever. We can call that Yahweh. We can call it Yahweh. We can call it any name we want. But to put a, quote, name on Creator, our Creator is spirit. We are spiritual beings animating physical bodies. Now, I'm going to take you to be my people, and I'm going to be a God. He also said this. He said, you are my special and peculiar people. You may not eat of an animal that dies of itself. Now, that would be good advice to anybody, because an animal that dies of itself has either died of old age or it was ill, it was sick. But he says, you cannot eat it, but you can sell it to the stranger at the gate. Now, Jack, I had chickens here to get eggs, and as they quit laying, I just kept feeding them until they died of old age. Now, do you think that I would have taken one of those dead chickens, dressed it out, and sold it to somebody? Would you do that?
No, I wouldn't do that.
No, you wouldn't. And you know what Jesus told us? He said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So what is the message here from the Old to the New Testament? And I know what people say. Well, this is the new covenant. Then we have to believe that we have a inconsistent, quote, God that changes his mind. Okay, things are different now. And I couldn't abide that. If I believed that, I don't know if I could even continue to be in this world. Because my knowing of the love of our Creator and the benevolence of the universe, and that God is love, in the New Testament, back in John. In fact, I can grab it right away because I've got this one marked also. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And that is in 1 John chapter 4. In verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Now, we know what love is, and if we know what love is, think of the love of our Creator. Think about that, Jack. So, you know what I would like not to do tonight? I mean, because I promise you, I didn't bring, you know, you on to have a debate, but I don't want to just sit here and talk about the Old Testament as though it's something that is actually true and divine and inspired and love, because it isn't love. Did you ever look at the curses that Jehovah was going to bring down on the people if they didn't obey his every statute? I mean, it's terrible. It goes on for verse after verse after verse, even to the fact that you will eat your own children.
Even.
That's pretty nasty. So you know what I'd like to do?
Go ahead.
I just would like to talk about the New World Order, but not the Old Testament.
The only reason I brought that up is because they have seized upon that as part and parcel of their right to rule. And it seems to me that in many instances we can find that they have twisted, whether you agree with the Old Testament or not, they have twisted what is written there to lay the groundwork for a usurpation of what was, if it was promised to anybody, it was promised to the real Hebrew tribes and not to these fakers that only pretended to embrace Judaism in 741 A.D. This New World Order is an evil thing. And if you look at the hearts of it, you will find that their plan for us is not at all acceptable.
Putting it mildly, huh?
Putting it mildly, yes.
Putting it mildly. You know, I started writing an article on anti-Semitism, and it became a book. It isn't finished yet, but it took me on a journey, because in a sense it actually just ran away with itself, or ran away with me, because thoughts kept coming into my mind and I kept doing research. And what I came to realize is, and I found a quote by a learned Jew that is evidently very respected by the Jews, named Moses Mendelssohn. He said, Judaism is not a religion. It is a law religionized. And that is exactly what we're living under today, is Talmudic law, Jack, isn't it?
Well, yes, we hit the Old Testament again when we talk about that, because the Hebrew children were taken to Babylon in the year 606 B.C., and they remained there till 536 B.C., and during that time, they were inculcated with the host philosophy. And that's when the Talmud, which is 63 books, which perverted the oral tradition, was put into writing, and we find what I think are some pretty objectionable references in that Talmud. For example, in the Talmud, they talk about pedastry or pedophiles.
Yes.
And they say that the virginity returns to the child like under 3 years old as tears return to the eye.
Yes.
And that is, I find that absolutely disgusting.
It's beyond disgusting. They also, in the Talmud, that it is not okay to have, for a man to have sex with another man, but a boy under 9 years and 1 day is not considered a man. So that's okay. We're going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. Jack, stay with me.
Thank you.
the King of Kings, unto his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
All right, folks, we're back. Our guest tonight is Jack Otto. I hope you can hear him. He called direct to First Amendment Radio so that Nicholas could pump up the volume on his end a little bit. Jack, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, has radio, and he's going to have to tell us the name of it again. His broadcast is on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. You can hear it on shortwave at 5.050, or you can listen live at RBN, that's Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com, on Saturday nights. And Jack, what is the name of your broadcast again? I wrote it down today, but I couldn't find it.
I call it Radically Right.
Radically Right. I wanted to bring up something that you said at the very beginning, because see, I think that what you said is the key to this whole thing, that these Khazars, back in what sometime around 700, 741, when they adopted Talmudism, and I would call it Talmudism because the rabbis themselves, I have quotes that say that there's no such a religion as Judaism. It's Phariseeism, and it traces its beginnings back from, today, from today to the very beginning. But those Khazars that adopted Talmudism, they weren't, quote, Jews, they weren't Semites, And their ancestors had never stepped a foot in that holy land. And now I understand, I have read, you know, these, you don't always know that what you're reading is true, that, but today, about 95% of the Jews are actually from the Khazarian descent, the Turco-Mongolian tribe of the Khazars. I talked to Stephen Jacobson. He's a friend who's a Jew. In fact, he wrote after he read where I was, he had come to visit at one point in time when Chuck was here, my husband, and read the book Jewish Persecution to where I was at the time. And I asked him if he knew if he was a Sephardic or a Khazarian Jew, and he didn't know. And I wonder what your thoughts are about this. Do most Jews today realize the actual history of them?
Well, that's what I understand, too, is that about 92% of those who claim to be Jews are really these Khazars.
Yeah, but they don't know that, do they, Jack?
Well, they don't know it, but one way to be sure and discern for yourself is ask them if their Bubba spoke Yiddish. Yiddish is we are told, is a mixture of Hebrew and German. But that's not true. It's the Khazar language plus some German, because they didn't have any scientific terms in their language.
Okay.
Using the old Hebrew alphabet as phonics to codify their language. But that makes it appear to be Hebrew, but Yiddish is not.
Or is it a possibility that they learned Yiddish because it is, in a sense, a nation within nations, if we would call it Judaism. No matter where they go, if they can speak Yiddish, they can communicate with one another.
Yes, and you can't hear what they're talking about. You can't understand it yourself.
No. But, you know, as I said when I was doing the research, and in fact, it's in the protocols where they say it themselves. They refer to people who are born into this religion. I was born into, you know, the Lutheran. They refer to them as their lesser brethren. And they have many times admitted that Jewish persecution was promulgated by them, and that it was the only way that they could have achieved what they've done today. And to keep their lesser brethren in line. That's one of the quotes, paraphrased. So the whole thing has been orchestrated by, as you call them, the false Jews, these Khazarians, and those in the elite positions today. They're pretty much ruling the world, aren't they, Jack?
Well, they do. They control the newspapers and the television, the banking industry, the insurance companies. And it's through the banking and insurance companies that you can't tell which one owns which, but that round robin owns and controls everything else. They have within their grasp law, medicine, marketing, television, newspapers, the whole ball of wax. And they own us, too.
And I've had people say to me, you know, that are so, quote, anti-Jewish because of experiences that they've had. If I say I have a Jewish friend, no, you don't. A Jew can't be your friend. Well, my husband's mother was a Jew. and I tell them, I beg to differ with you. And what I think it would be good for all of us to do is to remember this, that the statement that Jesus made, by their fruits ye shall know them. It doesn't matter what a person's color or race or creed, religion, that doesn't matter, because by their fruits we will know them.
Well, let's talk about some of those folks right there. The Ashkenazim, or false Jews, who have taken our side in this issue and told us about what was happening and the plans that were being laid against us. We would know very little about it if they hadn't come out and really spoken out about the conspiracy. Let's take, for example, a guy named Ben Friedman. He was the man who owned that Woodbury soap, and he became converted to Christianity.
Yes.
And he told all about what they were doing and what they were up to. There was guys like Rabbi Antleman and Jack Bernstein and Rabbi J. Bronfman Kadmicon. So many have been on our side that we can't tar with a broad brush, because you will harm innocent people who have absolutely nothing to do with the conspiracy. And it's a shame that so many people want to look at this as a black and white issue, and it's not. There are shades of gray here. There are conspirators, and they need to...
That is why it's so confusing, don't you think?
I beg your pardon?
That's why it's so confusing for people.
Yes, they want them all to be bad or all to be good, and it's like everybody else. Some are bad, some are good. And we have to take each person as an individual, and like you just said, we'll know them by their fruits.
Yes.
Those who have taken a stand and died for our cause can't be labeled as one of the bad guys.
From what I've read, Ben Friedman literally was a multimillionaire and literally spent his millions exposing this.
All of it, yes.
Uh-huh.
He died poor. But he did his best to inform people of what's going on.
You know, we've got one of his speeches on our website at sweetliberty.org. I think it's in the Israel section, I'm not sure. But that was done. That was the one that is, you know, pretty well known because there were recordings of it. I think that was at the hotel in D.C., and I think it was 68. And, Jack, when you read that speech, it could be a speech that somebody was giving yesterday.
I have transcribed that speech and included it in my book.
Yes.
And I hope to get this thing published soon. Maybe when I get it together and have it printed up, we can talk again so that we can...
Absolutely. Do you, see that coming
on
in the near future?
Say again?
Do you see that coming in the near future?
Yes, I'm almost finished with my part of the work. It's just going to be a case of... my man getting the money together, he just had a big setback. When you work against the conspiracy, sometimes you find yourself up against the conspiracy.
That's for sure.
We are finding that more and more in the Patriot movement are finding themselves being set up.
Set up, what do you mean?
Well, where you find that your employees are being paid by someone else to spy on you and plant seeds of discontent and make a big jump all at one time so that your organization can be destroyed.
Yes. You're talking about the problems that RBN had recently.
Yes, and I'm talking about Jim Gilchrist, too, and his efforts having a similar thing happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
We are up against the conspiracy, and conspirators will work in concert to destroy those who wish to remain free.
Yes, and the conspirators come out as the opposition and act like they're against the conspiracy when, in fact, they are controlled opposition, yes?
Yes, and they love to do that.
That way, John,
they are able to talk about some things without ever hitting at the real heart of the matter.
Yes.
See, for everybody out there chopping at the roots of the problem, there's 10,000 just trimming the branches. And we have to be aware of what's going on and not allow ourselves to be lulled to sleep. Because there was a candidate for the presidency, William Jennings Bryan, that said, "Not yet, O Liberty, close thy eyes and sleep, for thy enemy never sleeps." And here we are finding ourselves faced with inflation. When the Constitution says we're supposed to have gold and silver coins, where did this paper money come from? It come from a central bank, which we weren't supposed to have. It was just put together one Christmas Eve back in 1911, I believe it was, where the conspirators went down to Jekyll Island and formed the Federal Reserve. They call it Federal Reserve, even though it's not federal and it doesn't have a reserve. And it's more of a syndicate than a system. But they couldn't call it a central bank because America wouldn't put up with that. They promised this was to iron out some of the boom and bust cycles, but it was just the key they needed to do that. They do that with the leverage of the discount rate. If the Federal Reserve raises the discount rate, then member banks have to raise the amount of money that they loan out to their customers. And if they lower it, then the banks can lower it. And this puts more money into circulation, or as they raise it, it takes it out. And by running that lever up and down, you can call boom and cause boom and bust cycles. And when you cause a boom, and you know you're going to cause a boom, you put your money into stuff and have stocks and organizations prosper and flourish. Then you sell them to the suckers at the peak of that and start withdrawing money. And when everybody is gone broke, like Ford and General Motors and Chrysler, then you can start buying it up again. Just by running that lever back and forth, they can destroy us. And they do that with some regularity.
Yes, they do. You know, that story was in the Old Testament, Jack. And when I read that, when I became aware of it, I realized that a lot of what's there, they told us what they were going to do. They told us the plan. And that would be the story of Joseph when he was over in Egypt. You remember that story, you know, when he was able to interpret the dream of the Pharaoh, so became vizier of the Pharaoh. And he said, well, we're going to have 7 years of feast and 7 years of famine. And so we have to store up. So they stored all the grain up that the Egyptians grew. And then came the famine. And so the people went to Joseph and said, okay, we're hungry. We need some grain. And he said, okay, here's what it's going to cost you. And they had to pay for the grain that they grew. Now, this is exactly what has happened today when you look at it. They had to pay for the grain that they grew. And so then it says in there that he gathered up the money and took it to the Pharaoh. So what he did was he withdrew the money from circulation and he created a depression. And the next year they came to him and they said, well, the money fails, but we're hungry. He said, okay, fine, give me your flocks. So then they had to give all their cattle and everything. And the next year they came and they said, we're hungry, but we have nothing to give. He says, fine, give me your land. They wound up selling themselves and their children into slavery. He created a depression by withdrawing the money from circulation. And you know about what they call today rural cleansing, to get the people out of the country. Are you aware of that, Jack?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Okay.
We can see it really happened over in the Soviet Union
Georgia. You know what it says back there? Then he gathered all the people out of the country and took them into the cities. So exactly what that story is what's happening here today. And in my mind, I believe that they wrote, it's just like Revelations. Now, I have two books here that are supposed to explain Revelations. I bought these books years ago, and I still couldn't understand it. Anybody I've ever talked to has a different interpretation of Revelations, but the ones that they do understand, if you have a priesthood, a central international priesthood that is writing all this material, it isn't necessarily a quote prophecy. They wrote their plan. And then because the Bible is the holy and divine and inspired word of God, people say, oh, this is God's plan. And they celebrate it. Oh, come on, bring it on. Because now we know Jesus is coming back. And so they have people literally praying for all this to come to pass because they believe that it is the time that Jesus is going to return. Jesus said, I am with you always. My kingdom is not of this world. But see, people don't read enough. They believe what their churches tell them, and the churches have all gone Talmudic, Jack.
Oh, they surely have.
The Christian churches are taking the Passover meal with the Jews today. So what they've done, they created two separate, absolutely opposite religions. One is Judaism or Talmudism. The other is Christian. And here they are going. The Jews believe their Messiah hasn't come yet, and they're waiting for their Messiah. The Christians are waiting for their Messiah to come back. And instead of these two religions clashing, they have very gradually merged them to where it's all in one. The plan is so... But, of course, they've had centuries to plan it, Jack, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and I think one of the things that points to their plan best is a letter that was sent by Albert Pike, 33rd degree Mason, to his superior in the Illuminati, one Giuseppe Mazzini, who also happened to be the founder of the Mafia. And he sent out a letter on August 15th of the year 1871 in which the objectives of three world wars were formulated by him. And that letter used to hang in the British Museum until 1977 when Rothschild joined the board of directors. And according to Pike, the First World War was designed to destroy Tsarist Russia and convert that country into a stronghold of atheism. And it was to be instigated by agitating the differences between Germany and England. And afterwards, communism was to be strengthened to the point that it could be used to destroy other governments and weaken religion. Then the Second World War was to be fomented through the manipulation of the differences which existed between the German nationalists and the political Zionists. And this was to result in an expansion of the USSR and influence their establishment of the State of Israel. And during the Second World War, communism was to be enlarged and strengthened to the point that it equaled United Christendom. And at that point, it would be contained and held in check. Then, in reference to World War III, Albert Pike planned that they would stir up the differences between Jewish nationalists and the leaders of the Muslim world. Can we see that happening today?
Yes, we do.
We're talking only Iraq, but going into Iran and Syria. And
Syria,
Lebanon now.
And Lebanon, yes. And those, you know, somewhere, I think it was back during World War One, when they were talking about Israel, you know, creating Israel.
Oh, and the Balfour Declaration.
The Balfour Declaration, thank you. That's on our website at sweetliberty.org. In the section titled How Wars Are Made Behind the Scenes. And my mind went someplace else. I was trying to figure out where that thing was. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought, Jack.
Well, the Balfour Declaration was put together
when the international Zionists
to the King of England.
They called it their biblical mandate. In other words, they furthered the plan by saying, this is the land that God promised us, His chosen people. This is our biblical mandate. And all of the land that they're, the countries that they're warring in today are part of that, quote, biblical mandate. And go ahead and explain the Balfour Declaration, if you will.
Well, it was during World War One that Germany was actually defeating Great Britain and her allies, and the bankers went to the King of England and said, if we can bring the United States into this war, would you promise Palestine to us? And it wasn't the property of the king, it wasn't his, but he made that promise anyway. And so they did. They brought the United States into the war by having Great Britain sink the Lusitania with ammunition aboard and killing 128 people. And in the process of doing so, it angered enough that we went to war. We jumped right into that when Woodrow Wilson, whose real name was Wolfson.
Wolfson, yes.
Yes, there's so many of these guys keep hidden Jewish names. Like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who went passed himself off as Roosevelt.
Yes.
And characters like Karl Marx, whose name was Moses Mordecai Levy. And we find that this Sub Rosa, stealthy running of our government by those who are really interested in covering up who it is behind this and what they actually intend to do. Like, we went over to Iraq because they got weapons of mass destruction and we wanted to free those people. Are they being freed or are they being killed?
Well,
all
probably
the kind of freedom they're getting is being, the spirit is being freed from the body.
Yes.
You know, they might resent that. And we see how the folks in Iran are being set up to do the same thing. We're saying, well, the reason for our failed policy in Iraq is because Iranian insurgents are coming down. And they got weapons of mass destruction. They don't use that term, weapons of mass destruction. They say specifically nuclear weapons. But any way you look at it, it's
and Israel is
to
the
go
only
there
country.
And steal somebody else's oil.
Yes, and Israel is the only country allowed to have nuclear weapons.
And they have 400 of them.
They have a huge arsenal, don't they?
Yes, they do. And now Iran does not have a nuclear bomb. The CIA has already said, and I'm sure Mr. Bush regrets that ever coming out, but they. The CIA said they're 30 years away from being able to make a bomb.
Yes.
And what they're doing right now is trying to have a nuclear power plant to generate electricity.
Jack?
Yes.
We're out of time here. There's a quote here that I want to share leaving this. It's a quote by Arthur Schlesinger Jr. from Foreign Affairs. He said, in defense of world order, U.S. soldiers will have to kill and die. And he said, also said, that we will not have a world order without paying for it in blood as well as in money. And that is what's happening today. Jack, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, we'll see you next Wednesday. Till then, have a lovely week. And bless you all. Good night. Good night, Jack.
Good night.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different.